Welcome to episode 58. Man, it's great. It's going to be great. I can't wait for the Breakdown Walls podcast.
It's very late.
It's very late. Episode 58. It's going to be great. Just you wait. Get yourself a plate. Comb your pate.
Yes.
Save your state.
Your hunger we will sate.
Yes, save your state. If you're playing a video game, save your state. Because time for episode 58, Breakdown Walls podcast. And oh my god!
Holy crap.
Folks,
biggest episode ever.
I'm going to open up the show by saying this may very well be our biggest episode ever.
We may have to break this up into... I just say we may run out of space for the initial gaming news.
I mean, I guess we'll see, but it's possible. It's possible.
It very well might.
We have a lot to talk about this week, so let's... I'm not even going to, like, do a... I am going to segment the show, because if we didn't, we would run out.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to do a huge intro, because we have a lot to get into. So this is episode 58, guys. Let's get into it. It's time for
Gaming News!
Welcome to
Gaming News!
Oh, no. Sterlock, you might want to plug yourself in there. I think you need to charge.
Give me news!
Give me well. Alright. Okay. So, this is gaming news, folks, and it's going to be long. To start with, we have not one, oh no, but two major gaming events to go over today.
Yep.
My thinking, and Sterlock, feel free to change my mind here, but my thinking is to do the events in the order they happened.
Yep, that makes sense.
So UbiForward first?
Yep.
All right, so UbiForward first. Okay, so this is a rundown of UbiForward, which was basically a big Ubisoft event, all Ubisoft related. And yeah, man. Oh yeah?
Duh, okay.
There it is. Yay. Okay. Took me a while because I have a lot of things in my Dropbox now. Okay. All right. UbiForward rundown. Okay, here we go. So this is all Ubisoft games. Ubisoft is doing their own kind of direct style thing, kind of like Nintendo would do, you know, stuff like that. Ubisoft is doing their own thing with that. So, first things first, it began with Far Cry 3, the VR experience. Now, this intrigued me, most notably because Far Cry 3 is, I think, even today, still considered probably the best Far Cry, mostly because of its villain. Its villain made waves. The actor that plays the villain in Far Cry 3 did such an incredible job with the performance that they even ended up making, I believe it was like a 10-minute short video with him.
Oh, wow.
Just because when people played Far Cry 3, they wanted more of him.
Yeah. Nice.
So, Far Cry 3, probably the most successful Far Cry to date. And this is a VR experience set in the Far Cry 3 universe. I don't think it is Far Cry 3 VR. Like, I don't think you're playing Far Cry 3.
No. Okay. Interesting. So it's its own thing.
Yeah, it's its own thing. Yeah. Yeah. But it's just set in Far Cry 3. So you may run into the infamous Far Cry 3 villain, hopefully played by the same actor, because who else could you get?
I'm sure it will be.
Yeah, it probably will be. That was actually revealed. By the way, the first couple things that I'm going to announce here were actually revealed in the pre-show.
Yeah.
But anyway, the VR experience is up to 8 players multiplayer, which is also interesting because 8 multiplayer VR is actually pretty rare. So multiplayer, 8 players and VR. So there you go.
Mm-hmm.
So this is kind of cool. I wrote this down because it just is kind of interesting. It's not a game, per se. Well, it's not a game. No, it's not a game at all, really. But I think it's really neat that they did this. So for those of you who don't know, in 2019, I believe, the Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris caught fire. And yeah, many, many, many things were lost in that fire. A lot of the cathedral itself was lost in that fire. So what Ubisoft did was they took some of the assets that they used in Assassin's Creed Unity, which contained the Notre Dame Cathedral, and built those into a VR experience. So you can now, basically it's going to be a Notre Dame Cathedral VR experience. It's just a way to walk through the cathedral, see some of the stuff that was in it, you know, pre-fire.
That's actually a really cool way to preserve a bit of history.
Yeah, it's a commemoration. I think that's cool. I really like it. It's coming to Oculus exclusively, so it's going to be like an Oculus experience.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was 2019. Okay, space simulation game. Agos.
Oh. You have muted. Uh-oh. Brandon? Brandon.
So, you know, this would be the show, right?
Yep.
Where we'd have technical difficulties. This would be the one.
I heard a click, and then you were gone.
You know what was weird about it? What happened was, essentially, my phone stopped perceiving my headset, which has the mic in it, as a headset. So audio started coming out of the speaker of my phone. I'm like, wait a minute, what?
Oh.
Like, I didn't unplug it or anything. It just happened.
Yeah, and I lost you completely, so.
Yeah. Even when I plugged it back in, it didn't come back, so. Anyway. That was a thing.
Yep.
Let's hope that doesn't happen again.
Hopefully not.
Okay. So we're just going to keep going where we were. I'll just cut it, you know. It's fine. Let's see. Where was I?
Agos.
Oh, yeah. Space simulation game called Agos or Agos. I think it's Agos. If I remember correctly, how he pronounced it in the thing. Kind of unclear as to what it involves, but it is a VR space simulation game. So what I'm thinking is, it seemed like it would be, what's that game? Faster Than Light, I think, was the one.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I think it's going to be like that, just VR.
I know a lot of people still play that game.
Yeah, yeah. It's coming out later this year, apparently.
Yeah.
Let's see. So we then have Karma, which is really cool. It's a multiplayer game based entirely on helping others. So
that's a cool concept.
Yeah, like, if you don't help other people, you will lose. Like, you'll get less powerful or something like that. I don't know the exact thing, but then we had a slew of major content updates for different games, including The Crew 2 and Ghost Recon Breakpoint, which is pretty cool. The Breakpoint content update was actually really neat. Like, say what you will about Ghost Recon Breakpoint, I know it wasn't very well received when it first came out.
Yeah,
but man, there's some things about that game that are really cool. Like the cutscene that they showed for the content update that's coming. As far as I know, it's a free update, but it's adding more story to Breakpoint. And the cutscene they showed is awesome.
Nice.
So, yeah, I hope that that's you know, as good as advertised. I hope people like Breakpoint eventually. Like, I hope they patch it to fix it, you know.
Yeah.
Also, For Honor is getting a content update as well. Another season in For Honor. So that's they do the kind of multiplayer seasons type of concept with For Honor. So that's getting a content update as well. As is, of course, The Division 2. But we already knew that you know, Division 2 is a well-known live service game.
Yeah.
You know. I wrote, frickin' Ubisoft. Oh, yeah. No, I wrote frickin' Ubisoft and their content.
Yeah.
And their content. They do that.
Yeah.
I said all that was the pre-show. Now the main event. Now the main event. Okay. Okay. So the first thing in the main event, the actual Ubisoft Forward show, was a trailer for Immortals Fenyx Rising, which is the game formerly known as Gods and Monsters. The
fun fact about that. I wonder if we were about to say the same thing.
Probably.
the reason apparently they had to change the name from Gods and Monsters was because of Monster Energy Drink.
Oh, is that why?
Super dumb, if that's true.
I did not hear that. That is super duper dumb.
Yeah.
It's like ultra levels of dumb.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not what I was going to say. I was going to say the fact that the name was no longer Gods and Monsters was actually revealed through a leak. It was actually, there was a demo of the game formerly known as Gods and Monsters. It was called that in the demo that leaked. And it actually leaked on Stadia. So,
oh, wow.
So yeah, of all things, there was a short period of time where anyone could log into Stadia and play a demo that should not have been playable to the public of Gods and Monsters, a.k.a. Immortal Phoenix Rising.
Wow. I didn't know that. That's hilarious.
That's not why they had to change the name, obviously. But
yeah,
it had already been decided that they were going to change the name by the time that demo was out. So it was, the demo was literally called the game formerly known as Gods and Monsters.
Wow.
So there you go.
It's Immortals, Gods and Monsters.
Yes. I think I'll discuss that here. So technically that was kind of accessibility news, but I think just to keep the Ubi thing flowing, I'll just discuss it here instead.
Yeah.
So I got to try, I was invited to a Ubi Forward Capture event, which is essentially the kind of event that they invite press to try out a game before it comes out and way before and stuff like that. So I got invited to one of those. This is the first one I've ever been to, so it was a really cool experience. And I got to try a little bit of Gods and Monsters, so I can actually speak to you from the perspective of accessibility on a game that's not out yet and won't be out for months. Pretty freaking cool, huh?
Yeah.
So this game is really, first of all, it's really neat. It's really charming as well. The narration in the game is just charming. It's just, they shatter the fourth wall, and they do it lovingly.
I love games that do that.
Not only do they do that, I found out in a part of the demo that I didn't get to. So here, the fun fact, all the narration dialogue in the demo that we got to play as media is unique to that demo we got to play.
Oh, wow.
It's not, none of it's going to be in the final game.
Oh, wow.
Which is actually really interesting, because that actually, like, they made the commitment to record it for that demo.
Oh, I know.
Only.
That's crazy.
That's wow. Crazy. So yeah, it's all unique. But I did find out that one of the things in the demo that I didn't get to had an Easter egg where the narration once again shatters the fourth wall, but they do it to reference the leak. The leak I just talked about. You go into this area where you're about to craft these potions, and your character's like, wait a minute, I think I've been here before. And I think it's Zeus that says, oh, great, she's seen the leak.
That's great.
So charming, dude. I hope, like, even if the dialogue itself is not staying, I hope they keep that level of, you know, humor and charm in the game.
Yeah.
It was a nice draw to the game. That said, the game isn't terribly accessible for the blind. No. It has cursor menus. So
why do you do this, Debs?
And every menu too, like even if you're trying to equip something, cursor menu, not just the main menu, every single menu.
Oh my god, why?
It's going to have narration, but it's still going to be troublesome to find the thing you want.
Yeah,
it's cursor menus. So yeah,
it's like even sighted people hate them. I didn't realize that until Jim Sterling came out and said it. Like, we don't like these.
Yeah, why do devs put them in? I don't know. But let's see. It also, there's some positives, though. It's going to have aim assist, which was not in the demo that I played, but it's going to be there in the full version. By the way, they've already released, this is new, by the way, a new practice for developers. Ubisoft has already released the full list of accessibility features in Immortals Phoenix Rising.
Good.
3 months prior to launch.
Wow.
So there you go.
Last of Us 2 didn't do that.
Nope, even Last of Us 2 didn't do that. Yep, I'll fully admit that.
That's crazy.
Ubisoft is paving their own accessibility way, my friend.
Yeah, that's good.
It will have aim assist in the full version. So that's nice. And there are good things. There are some audio cues that are really significant. When you go over a save point, it is an automatic save, so you don't have to actually click on anything, but you still know when you went over one because it makes a very distinct magical little tone when you do it. So it just that just means, hey, that's a checkpoint, it's saved, you're good.
Nice.
Also, when you use the ability called Farsight, there is an audio cue for that ability. Where when you're looking at something of interest, there is an audio and a vibration cue for that.
Oh, good.
Also, combat in the game is just pure fun. Like, I really, really like combat in the game.
Yeah, it sounded,
I really, really like it.
It sounded fun.
Yeah, it's really fun. It's just, there's, you can, every weapon that you have is just attached to a button, so you don't have to equip and unequip weapons. I mean, you can probably, like, equip upgraded versions of them, but you have a sword on one button, an axe on another button, and a bow on the third button. It's just, you can just combo between them during combat.
Oh, that would be so fun.
And it's just,
oh my god,
it's awesome. It's awesome.
You probably
really
make some
fun.
Sweet combos with that.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, man. And also, it does that thing that Bayonetta does, where if you get a perfect dodge, it slows down time for a second to give you time to just waylay on your opponent.
Yeah.
It's really cool. It's really cool. So, but it is heavily open world. So again, not very accessible. No navigation assistance of any kind, you know.
Yep.
Still, I had a good time with it. I can honestly say that I had a good time with it.
Yeah.
And yeah, part of it is due to the fact that I also had an amazing demoist there with me who was willing to not only describe things to me, but also to be my guide through the demo. So he was actually helping me out with puzzles and such.
That's good.
Yeah, it was very nice of him to do that. But I did have a great time with it. And I did enjoy what I played. And I'm looking forward to listening. I'm guessing Misty's probably going to play it because she took one look at it and she's like, yep, I want it.
It definitely seems like her kind of game for sure.
Yeah, so she's probably going to play. Actually, people are calling it the Ubisoft Breath of the Wild.
I could see that.
I can kind of see it too. Open world, action, action heavy.
Just without the terrible weapon durability gimmick that Breath of the Wild has. That no one really likes.
Yeah. But that was a good time. And Gods and Monsters is coming out, I believe, in December of this year.
Nice.
Let's see. Oh, also, there is an exclusive demo, not a leak, but a real demo, of Gods or Immortals Fenyx Rising coming to Stadia later this year. That's
Stadia.
Right. It's not a leak. It's a real demo.
I'm a real demo.
Okay. Next up in the Ubi Forward event, Prince of Persia Sands of Time Remake. Releases in January 2021 on current gen, by the way. Current gen. Even though the next gen will be out by then. Oh, wait, how do I know that? Never mind. No.
We knew that anyway.
No, it's fine. I'm just messing around. it is releasing on PS4 and Xbox One. I just want to be completely clear on that. I'm guessing the reason for that is probably because they started production on it probably some time ago and maybe didn't have the next-gen dev kits yet, so they were, you know, just finish it out for the current gen and leave it at that.
Yeah.
I'm guessing it's probably something like that. But here's the cool thing about this that I really like. It is one of those remakes, kind of like the, although it had its own problems, kind of like the, oh my god, what's the Spyro the Dragon. Spyro, the Spyro trilogy got remade. And the Prince of Persia Sands of Time remake is doing one of the things that that game did that I really like. They actually got Yuri Lowenthal to reprise his role from the original game. So they're redoing all the cutscenes and all the dialogue, but they got Yuri Lowenthal to do it. So it literally is going to be an updated version of the original game.
Completely. That's pretty cool.
Acting. Yeah. Yeah, because that was when Yuri took over. I think it was the one before Sands of Time that was Nolan North as the Prince of Persia.
Yeah.
Which even Nolan North to this day thinks was kind of ridiculous. Because essentially...
It doesn't fit him.
Well, he knew that, though. And that's Nolan knew that. Because he realized after the fact that what they were going for by getting him was the Uncharted fans. Essentially, if you listen to that game, they just had him use his regular voice because Nathan Drake. If you listen to gameplay of the other Prince of Persia,
they were just going for clout, like, hey, look, we got Nolan North,
we got Nathan Drake up in here, man. He's the Prince of Persia too.
No, Yuri Lowenthal is a much better Prince of Persia.
He fits it.
Yeah.
And he's back for this new one, this remake, so.
I think that's why they used him, because they realized, like, he actually fits
right
better.
Right.
What right, we're exactly. For.
All right. So, yeah, I think that's really neat. I just want to mention that. Prince Kurt of Sands Time remake. Coming to current gen in January. There you go. Hyperscape, the Ubisoft multiplayer battle royale game that is, you know, competing with Fortnite and such. You know, I thought about this when I was watching this Hyperscape trailer, or this Hyperscape bit of the show. And I think that Ubisoft is actually kind of good for this. Like, Hyperscape has done okay so far.
Yeah.
Like, it's not getting the same clout as Fortnite and the same clout as even maybe Apex Legends. But the thing about Ubisoft is actually super good at live service games and content updates and such.
Yeah.
So I kind of feel like maybe this is going to work out for them eventually.
Steam later on. Yeah.
Maybe Hyperscape's going to be the hidden, you know, the underdog Fortnite contender, you know?
Yeah.
Because Ubisoft is good at what they do as far as releasing live content updates.
Yeah.
They're very good at it. By the way, what I wrote down here, and this is what they said, they're going for content updates every week.
Whoa.
Every week.
That's pretty ambitious.
Dang. It's very ambitious.
Like, damn.
How far ahead do you have to plan and start making, like, coding things to make that work?
Yeah, really.
It's crazy, man. But, I mean, Ubisoft does crazy stuff like that with live service games, so yep. Who knows. Rainbow Six Siege was talked about. Rainbow Six Siege is actually a game that started out very, very unpopular. Rainbow Six Siege is literally the perfect example of Ubisoft's strength of content updates and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is a game that turned out terribly unpopular. Most people hated it. But now
it's doing pretty well for itself now.
Now it's super popular. Now it's in the esports scene. That's right. This announcement was the first ever Rainbow Six World Cup is going to be a real thing. People are going to play Rainbow Six Siege for a World Cup.
I'm sorry. Even still, like, when I hear the words World Cup, my mind immediately jumps to soccer.
Yeah, so does mine. So does mine. I was like, wait, what is this now? Is this Rainbow Six Siege the soccer edition?
Yeah.
What's happening? But they said they're actually only halfway through their plan. They said they promised when Rainbow Six Siege came out. They said when Rainbow Six Siege came out, they promised the world a 10-year plan. They said we're only halfway through, and they also said we're doubling down. We're going to try to produce even more content than we originally planned.
Okay. I bet they can do it.
Also, free next-gen upgrades for Rainbow Six Siege as well. And the new season of Rainbow Six Siege is live now, featuring Sam Fisher from Splinter Cell.
505 Games, take note. This control nonsense. I don't know if you've been following that.
Wait, what now?
The whole thing with Control and the...
The next gen upgrades. We can't do it except for the collector's edition.
And then they did it anyway, accidentally. And
did they?
Yes. They did upgraded everybody accidentally, and then they took it back. So they basically called themselves out as big giant fucking liars.
Oh no, dude.
Yep. So they were flat out lying when they said, oh, it's impossible. We can't do it.
It's too technically impossible. That's why only the collector's edition. Okay, I don't know.
It's like, boy. Yeah.
It's... Oh, Remedy.
Yeah.
You know, the thing is, as a development studio, I kind of love Remedy. Like, they're really good at the games they produce. Alan Wake is a freaking classic. I don't know if you know. But that is shady, dude.
Oh, yeah. It's super shady.
Well, don't worry. Shady. Don't worry. Rainbow Six Siege, free next-gen upgrades. Oh, God. Okay, next thing. What I wrote down is here, just like Cyberpunk 2077, Watch Dogs Legion is recruiting at least one real London musical artist for the game.
Nice.
So basically what I mean by that is Cyberpunk 2077 announced that several actual musicians are going to be in-game artists, and that's going to be true here with an actual London rapper and I actually should have written down his name, and I didn't, and I feel bad about that. But it's a London rapper that is going to be in the game. I don't know if he's... You know what I don't know? Oh, I wonder. Because this is going to be in the game, and the trailers, all the trailers for Watch Dogs Legion say technically everyone is recruitable.
Oh.
So...
Oh.
Does that mean he is too?
How interesting would that be?
Huh. That'd be pretty cool.
That'd be cool.
Yeah. He goes into a room full of enemies and he just raps them all to death. I don't know. I don't know where I'm going with that. But here was a nice surprise. This I don't think anyone expected. Returning to the game, Mr. Aiden Pierce, the protagonist of Watch Dogs 1, is going to be fully playable in Watch Dogs Legion.
Oh, man. That just makes Watch Dogs Legion even cooler.
Yeah.
It's already pretty cool looking, so.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's amazing, dude. But, that definitely does make it even cooler. All right. Next up, Riders Republic. It is a massive multiplayer extreme outdoor sports game. It is a next-gen game releasing on February 25th, the day before my birthday.
Woo.
And this game, the first thing I thought when this trailer started playing was, I thought of Steep. Do you remember Steep?
The EA. Oh my God, yeah.
The EA extreme sports game. That's the first thing I thought of.
Oh my God.
But what I realized is, here's how it's different. Steep, as far as I know anyway, was always you could do a whole bunch of extreme sports, but it was a single player thing. Mm-hmm. This is a multiplayer, massive multiplayer, shared world extreme sports game, where apparently they do the same trick as Microsoft Flight Simulator does, mm-hmm. and they use actual GPS data in certain locations to make things the way that they really are.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it could be really neat. I like the idea. I like the concept. It seems really neat, and it seems also that it's going to have some humor in it too. The trailer made it seem like there's going to be a lot of humor in it too, which I respect that.
Yep.
Because there's a whole bunch of things like, you know, crazy wipeouts, crashing into different things and running into signs and stuff. I don't know, but it seems cool. So next thing, really, 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 really cool. Unexpected completely. Thank you, Ubisoft, for doing this. Yep. Scott Pilgrim versus the World. The game is coming back, folks.
We kind of had opposite reactions. Not opposite, but like, you're just like, eh, that's cool. And I'm just like, take my money.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm still kind of like, yeah, I mean, it's cool. But here's why I'm really like, I'm glad it's happening simply because I don't like seeing a game kind of collapse the way Scott Pilgrim did.
Well, especially the fans have wanted this game back for since it went down, and like people didn't stop wanting it.
Right. Right. But yeah, this game had some major licensing problems and eventually got itself delisted from every current gen store. So you could no longer get it for a long time. But no longer, for Ubisoft is bringing it back with a 10th anniversary edition featuring all the DLC.
Apparently I heard that I forget his name, but the creator of Scott Pilgrim vs. the World flat out said that like he was going to make it his life's mission to make sure this game came back.
Oh, wow.
And apparently he made good on that. So
mm-hmm.
I'm glad because this game is, it's so good.
The movie is really good too. Like, I don't know. Anyone out there who hasn't seen the movie should watch Scott Pilgrim, especially if you're a gamer. It is a gamer's movie. That movie is so good.
Yeah, it absolutely is.
And the game has a really nice, really cool retro feel to it. That's really just it's endearing.
Yeah, I mean his band is literally called Clash of Demonhead. I mean, that's if I remember correctly. That's the name of a very cool NES game from the early 90s. Ah, it's so good.
Yeah, man.
I'm very happy this is back. I'm definitely going to buy it.
Yeah. Yeah, man. I am double checking the file to make sure I covered everything. I think I did, though.
I think that was the last thing, yeah.
I want to make sure I didn't miss anything in the middle. Looks like I didn't. No, I didn't. Okay, cool. All right, that was all of Ubisoft. You know, I thought that would take longer. I thought Ubisoft would take me longer to go through because it was actually, believe it or not, it was like 2 hours long in total.
Oh, wow.
So I thought it would take me longer. But I guess what it really comes down to is a lot of the presentations were really long. Yeah. Like the individual parts were really long, and we don't have to talk about them for as long as they actually ran.
Right.
But before we move on to PlayStation, which happened today, BT Debs, before we move on to that, I do want to say mad props to Ubisoft because holy audio described trailers, Batman.
Not only that, but the other thing they did.
This
is really cool too.
Ubi Forward was ASL compatible. The whole show, even the live stream, was ASL compatible. There was an ASL stream that people could go to use that version.
Yeah, that's super
pretty awesome, dude. But yeah, right after Ubi Forward, they released a bunch of the trailers that we just saw during the show as audio described trailers, and that's how I know even half of what I know about these trailers. Because they're audio described and they're really well done.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, all the especially with a game like Riders Republic, especially with a game like that.
Yeah,
like,
where it's all that trailer
audio described. There's so much going on in that trailer.
There's so much. Crazy.
But it's awesome. It sounds awesome though. Not a game that we could play, but certainly awesome. Maybe to listen to for a little while.
Yeah.
Just be like, do a crazy wipeout, jump off the mountain. I don't know. All right.
To the top of this mountain, dude.
Yeah, man. Okay. So next, we get to talk about the show that happened today.
Indeed.
That show, ladies and gentlemen, was the PS5 showcase that occurred today.
Yay.
And, well, it was awesome.
Yeah, it was.
However,
unfortunately, I missed a lot.
Yeah, I know. But you know that all those trailers and stuff are going to be uploaded separately, or you could rewatch the whole thing if you really wanted to do it that way. But it's all
uploaded separately. They're already up. I watched both. I watched the two things. I
the
was
first
super
two.
Interested in.
Yeah.
In seeing.
Yeah, dude. Okay. So I do want to preface this, because I want to be fair. I want to show the positives and the negatives. So. I do have to preface this by saying, in terms of accessibility of this event,
there was none.
Ubisoft has accessibility on lockdown. Sony does not. Not only was there no narration for the bits of text that were on screen throughout the entire event, there's literally no narration that is not part of like a game.
If Misty was not around, we would not know. We would have to look up articles and stuff.
Yeah,
because that's
accessibility was not
it was all text,
and there was no ASL version. There was no audio described version, nothing like that. So Sony, you got a lot of work to do with that company.
Mm-hmm.
But that said,
the event itself was awesome.
Let's get to the actual freaking show. I can't believe I get to say this, but I get to say this on this podcast right now. Final Fantasy 16.
Oh, it looks so good.
Is a real thing.
It looks so good.
Oh my god. Oh my gosh.
Oh, dude. Like, I even said, like, oh, this looks so much better than 15, because I didn't care personally for 15.
Yeah.
I didn't like it. I just wasn't.
That's fine. I've liked what I've heard of it. Like, maybe it gets worse. I don't know. But I liked what I heard of it so far. We didn't get very far. We didn't get super duper far, but we got far enough that, like, the first major negative thing is happening in 15, but that's as far as
we're going. Oh, yeah. The story seems like it's going to be way more gripping in 16.
I can already say this. This I can say with confidence. And not to say that 15's voice acting was bad, but 16, in this trailer alone...
16's got it, like, nailed. Like,
it's got it. It's got it.
It's like... Final Fantasy VII Remake's voice acting. It's like that level.
Yeah. Good. It's that good. It's very, very good. And just the level of, like, you can tell that the scope is huge. Like, we're not talking about, like, they were, I don't know what the actual gameplay is going to be like, because this is definitely not a gameplay trailer. No. But they were not talking about individual battles with monsters. They were talking about war in this game. Yep. They were talking about armies in this game. So what the heck is this game going to be?
Kind of reminds me of, like, 12 in that regard. 12 was a lot of that stuff, too.
Yeah, I definitely kind of did get a 12 vibe from that. And apparently summons are called icons. We both noticed that, too.
Which is interesting. Like,
yeah. But, I mean, it's interesting, but it's also not too super abnormal. Like, they're that's often called
Final Fantasy, like, loves to change up the terminology of things, like, basic things like summons. And it loves its jargon. Final Fantasy loves jargon.
I will say, since there's no audio description, and we can't verify this is non-verifiable, but Misty believes that at one point she saw Bahamut. Apparently he's amazing and monstrous and awesome.
Nice. So I think because they mentioned again with the jargon, they mentioned like Shiva's dominant. So I wonder if like a dominant is like the new term for a summoner.
Summoner, and
summon team is like the dominant and the icon, right? Or something like that. Right. That's kind of what it seemed like.
Yeah,
super interesting. I love a lot of people like to make fun of like Final Fantasy 13 for all its crazy jargon, but I actually like that stuff.
You like the new mechanics.
I find it kind of fascinating, and like I like learning the new terms, and it just kind of brings me into the world personally.
Yeah, they're playing with the different ideas around Final Fantasy, the lore of Final Fantasy, and it's different every time.
I like it too.
I am curious about that as well.
I also liked that they reused the prelude.
That's the moment I knew what it was when they did that.
It was so good.
It was in,
was it in 15?
It was in Remake, I thought it was in Remake.
It
was in Remake in the credits, I think.
Oh, that's right. I think it was.
But yeah, so they reuse that the main Final Fantasy theme, and it's, oh my god, like, it sounds so amazing.
It's just everything about this trailer is like, yep, this is what I want out of a Final Fantasy game.
And also I wrote the words PlayStation freaking exclusive.
Yep.
So yes, Final Fantasy 16 is not coming to Xbox, ladies and gentlemen. That's a pretty
big get.
It's not only a big get, but it's also the movement forward of PlayStation continues, because it is coming to PC, apparently. So it's going to be another PlayStation exclusive that's coming to PC.
Interesting. Okay.
Yep, so PlayStation
probably like
and
a
PC.
Year down the road.
Not right away, but yeah. Just like, I think it was just like 15, I think.
15 did that too, yeah.
Yeah, 15 is on PC now, I thought, yeah.
Was exclusive for a year, I think. And,
yeah. So picture this, everyone. Our minds have already been blown.
Dude.
It's already happened. All right. We don't need any more.
So cool.
We don't need any more. We're good. We're sold. We're in.
Yep.
And until except they're not done yet.
Nope.
Because then they show us the Spider-Man Miles Morales gameplay demo. I mean, how does one go about describing this? Because for starters, I want to say that Spider-Man on PS4 sounds really awesome. It has great audio. There's nothing wrong with Spider-Man PS4.
And yet,
Miles Morales, dude, turns everything up several notches.
Yeah.
I said, while we were watching this trailer, I said to Misty, I said, if I didn't know what we were watching right now, I would ask, what movie is this? Because it sounds amazing. I mean, how do you even describe it? Like, it's everything. It's the all the sounds of the people, even as they're running around and running away.
Oh, yeah.
The enemies as they're fighting Spider-Man doing his web swinging thing, pulling together a bridge with webs.
Yep.
I mean, it just sounds great. It sounds like a movie.
It's amazing.
And from what we were told, it was all gameplay and all perfectly seamless. Like, some of those things were QuickTime events. So typically in a situation like that, there's a transition. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
you transition out of gameplay and then into that event, which will then be a QuickTime event, sure. But this, like, I couldn't tell what was a QuickTime event and what wasn't. Misty told me at one point, yes, there are triangle prompts on screen.
Wow.
But I couldn't tell you when that started. I couldn't tell you when the traditional gameplay stopped and that began.
Yeah.
Because it all sounds that good. I don't think I heard a repeating sound effect in that whole trailer. I don't know.
Wow.
It's amazing, dude. Spider-Man Miles Morales sounds just awesome. And imagine, just imagine that. So the impression that I'm getting these days is that even though audio is capturable from the PS5, I think they can't, except without like serious modification, directly capture the 3D audio.
The 3D audio, yeah.
So consider right now that I'm saying that it already sounded amazing. And then, if you would...
Oh, but like try to 3D imagine, audio? Oh my god.
Try to imagine that gameplay segment with 3D audio. Yep. I mean, holy cow, dude. It just sounds so good.
My god.
It's awesome. It's just, it's out of this world, dude. It's yep. I can't even, like, I'm having trouble explaining how cool this was. Like, and why is that? It's basically, I guess the way to put it is, even though it wasn't a direct, very obvious demonstration of PS5 technicality that Ratchet & Clank was,
yeah,
it sounded cool in the way Ratchet & Clank sounded cool.
You could tell that, yeah, this is next-gen stuff.
Yeah, this is definitely next-gen. Like, I haven't heard all of Spider-Man. In fact, I've only heard a little bit of Spider-Man, but from what I've heard, nothing gets quite as hectic and full of people, like NPCs, enemies and civilians alike, as Miles Morales already has in the first gameplay demonstration we've seen. Because the whole thing starts in a pop-up fair. So there's hundreds of people around. And the game's like, what?
Yeah. Okay.
What? No problem.
That's fine. We can handle that.
That's fine. That's the PS5.
Oh. I don't know why I gave the PS5 that voice, but
I see you like to render hundreds and hundreds of people. That's fine. Would you like them all to die at once or just one at a time? Good lord. It was so good. It's so weird. I can't even. I did write down this game takes place in Harlem.
Yep.
And it does take place within the PS4 Spider-Man timeline. It takes place a year after the end of Spider-Man PS4 as well. So, cool. The main villain, I don't know my Marvel well enough to know who this guy is, unfortunately, but the main villain is a guy called the Tinkerer. So if you know Marvel, maybe you know who that is, because I don't know who that is.
I'm not super familiar with the Tinkerer, but I'm not super up on my Spider-Man villains.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's your main villain, apparently.
Cool.
Okay. So next thing, after the amazing Spider-Man now, again, once again, we're all just like, okay, all PlayStation, right. You can stop now. We're done.
Stop. He's already dead.
Like, we're already just like, okay, yes. Yes, just yes. You've won. Let's do this. But they weren't done. Next up, Hogwarts Legacy.
Now, this is so cool.
This was number one, the trailer was narrated by Jim Dale, the reader of the American versions of the Harry Potter novels.
Despite you can hear the years have kind of caught up with him a little bit, but it's still you can still tell it's him. Like he still got it.
It's still solid.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it's Jim Dale. Yes.
Yep, it's Jim Dale. I don't know if he's
in the game. That makes me so happy.
I wonder if he's in the game, because you know...
I hope
he actually, did you know he actually is in the older ones?
Oh, I did not know that.
There's little segments of narration in the older games, and he does them.
Oh.
So he's like the Harry Potter voice man guy.
Oh, cool. I did not know that.
Yeah, he's actually also... I don't know if you knew this. Another fun fact. He's actually also in the DVDs in the extras area. There's a couple of DVD games that you can play, and he narrates those too.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
He was also the narrator in Pushing Daisies, which was actually a pretty funny show.
Oh, I didn't know.
Not Harry Potter related, but it's a good show, and it's all narrated by him.
Oh,
it's
cool.
Great.
Cool.
They knew they had a good thing, too, because they used him a lot
in
the show.
Good. He's excellent at what he does. Excellent.
Yep. Yep.
So,
I love Jim Dale.
So this is a new Harry Potter game, and it sounds like... So I wonder... What?
Yeah. It sounds like...
Yeah. I want to be clear that this was not really clarified, but it sounds like it could be an MMO.
It kind of made it sound like it, yeah.
The narration happens from, like, your perspective. Like, it keeps talking about you, a person, you know, mm-hmm. honing your spell abilities and exploring Hogwarts and brewing potions and stuff like that. But then it talks about you going out into this massive world and meeting with all these creatures and people. And it sounds like it's an MMO.
Yep.
But nothing explicitly says that, just to be clear. So this could be, as far as we know, it could just be a single-player Harry Potter game. An open-world game.
It kind of did make it sound a little bit like it might have been delving into MMO territory, though.
Yeah, it
we don't know.
Definitely might. But there you go. It's coming out on PS5. We didn't have it.
I don't think they.
No release date on that.
So, all right. Definitely not this year.
Yeah, probably not this year. Yeah. So next up, the Black Ops Cold War trailer. Another Black Ops Cold War trailer, which featured some gameplay from the first campaign mission.
Pretty good from the minute and a half I saw.
It's pretty good. Like it didn't Miles Morales impress me, but. Pretty good. Ultimately, the thing about COD is it sounds like COD.
Yes.
And that is to say, Modern Warfare, the game that came out before it, sounded great as well. Modern Warfare is one of those games that pushed the current generation as it is.
Yeah.
And it sounds great. It sounds really, really great. Its audio is tremendous. So... This didn't sound to me personally like it was much better than that. But then again, factor in the 3D audio and it might be. It might be better. When it comes to PS5, I just want to say this. When it comes to PS5, I am like so ready to just try anything just to see where 3D audio will take me in any given game.
Oh, I know.
Because the way I see it is, if I was able to play Until Dawn Rush of Blood in VR with 3D audio, then who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows what I'll be able to play?
Mm-hmm.
Who knows what we'll be able to play?
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
Black Ops Cold War is coming out holiday 2020. So it's coming out this year, but a little later. Now, it sounds to me like the reason they're saying holiday is because it's probably not exactly a launch title. It's probably coming out in the holiday window.
Yeah.
Probably not exactly a launch. They did then announce a little short, quick announcement that the multiplayer alpha, there's going to be a multiplayer alpha for this game, and it's only available to PS4 owners. And that's coming out in
Friday.
Oh, I didn't write it down.
Friday, I believe.
What was that?
I think it was Friday.
Oh, that's right. I think it is Friday. I think you're right. I think it is Friday. I think it's this Friday. Yeah, that's right. Because it said you can preload it tomorrow. That's right. It is this Friday. You can preload it tomorrow. PS4 players can play the multiplayer beta starting this Friday. Okay, cool. Resident Evil, The Village. They're actually not using the number 8, by the way. I want to clarify that.
That is interesting.
Yeah, it is technically Resident Evil 8, but they're not using the number 8 in the title.
I wonder why.
Yeah, I don't know if there's a reason for that either. Like, maybe this is just the first part of something big that they're creating.
Maybe. I don't know,
but yeah, it is definitely a sequel to 7. It has the main character from 7 in it. Ethan from 7 is in it, as is his wife Mia. And it sounds like maybe I definitely heard the voice of Troy Baker, and the voice of Troy Baker was definitely talking to Chris Redfield, and that makes me wonder if Troy Baker is actually reprising his role as Jake from Resident Evil 6.
I think that would be pretty cool.
It would be cool because they did say, Capcom has said before, they said this about 7, that yes, 7 is a part of the existing story. As much as people, you know, critically overall, not us personally, but critically overall, Resident Evil 6 didn't go very well.
Yeah.
But as much as people didn't like it, it is also part of the bigger story. And so, yeah, it very well could be Jake in that trailer.
Yep.
And I kind of hope it is, because the thing is, if you remember, once you beat all the campaigns, you get in Resident Evil 6, rather, once you beat all the campaigns, you get a little bonus ending thing that essentially appears to be a teaser for another game. And it shows Jake wandering in a far off place. I hesitate to say this, but a village. Oh. And
oh, interesting.
And I think he steals an apple from someone, and but then it just cuts to like zombies. But Jake is definitely in the trailer. He's making a deal with someone, and then he steals an apple. So yeah. Or no, sorry, he doesn't steal an apple. He's eating an apple while he makes the deal. Sorry, that's what it was. But it definitely is Jake in that little tiny little cutscene at the end of Resident Evil 6 if you beat all the campaigns. So
cool.
Maybe even then they were referencing this. I don't know.
Yes.
But I'm interested.
Yeah.
I want to see where this goes. So that though has now been confirmed to be coming out in 2021, not this year.
Yes.
Next up, Deathloop. I like
this Deathloop. Thing still looks awesome.
Yeah, I like Deathloop. I love the concept of Deathloop. The idea behind Deathloop, if you didn't watch our previous thing or listen to our previous thing, is you were supposed to fail.
Yep.
And you're supposed to fail a bunch. A lot. Because every time you fail, you are looped back in time and you get to restart. It's just taking the idea of respawning in a video game and making it the actual mechanic of the game.
Yeah.
So it's supposed to be ridiculously difficult, and you're supposed to fail a bunch. And every time you respawn, you learn a little bit more. Okay, if I do this, this is how this character reacts.
Mm-hmm.
And like this went into greater detail on how that will affect your gameplay, because if you heard the Sturlock, but he was one of the things he was like, you might kill one of them, or what he was talking about himself, but he narrates it from his own perspective, is I might kill one person, but then I lose my chance to kill another.
Mm.
You know? So yeah. Not only do you have to redo it over and over again, if you want to get all your targets, all 8 of your targets, you actually have to organize things in the proper way.
You have to make that work. Oh, man.
Yeah. You have to optimize your loop.
Yep.
Whether that's getting them into the same place at the same time so you can kill them together, or doing it in such a way where you can find them all in time before they are like before they escape, or before you lose your chance, before you don't have enough time to get to them.
Yeah.
I don't know. But yeah, you're stuck in a time loop, and the only way to get out is to kill all your targets. And that's the premise, but it sounds really neat, just in the execution. And only one of your targets, by the way, the antagonist female, I can't remember what her name is, but she apparently is the only one who knows about the loop.
Hmm.
So she counters you based on the fact that she is aware you're in a time loop.
Ooh.
So that is interesting. I mean, that's good for that kind of game in a main boss.
Yeah.
Like, I bet she's really difficult, because if, I don't know, maybe they made this so she'll actually learn from things that you do as the player. Like, that's what I imagined for a game like this.
Yeah.
You know? It actually follows your patterns and stuff. I don't know. It would make sense for her if she knows about the loop.
Yep.
But anyway, Deathloop is coming out. It did actually get delayed. Originally, Deathloop, by the way, was supposed to be a launch title for the PS5. That was the original plan, but it has been delayed. And this new trailer, at the end of it, we now have a new release date. Well, actually, we don't, but we have a new release window, Q2 of 2021.
Oh, wow. They delayed it a bunch.
Yeah. It's supposed to be a launch title.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So Q2 2021. So we're thinking, no, probably May. Probably yeah. May-ish.
Yep.
Okay. It is a PlayStation console exclusive. And they specify console exclusive because apparently it is also going to be available on PC at some point. But it is, as far as consoles go, a PlayStation exclusive. So again, PlayStation and PC, not Xbox. Yeah. I mean, okay. Next up, Devil May Cry Special Edition. Oh, mm-hmm. Devil May Cry 5 Special Edition, sorry. So it is Devil May Cry 5. It is the same game, but it is an upgraded version of it for the PS5. I did learn a little bit more about this since the event, Sturlock. I saw people tweeting about it. The big things are it can be run at, get this, 120 frames per second.
What?
And it supports ray tracing. So, which, you know, if you don't know what ray tracing is, it's basically the technology that makes...
TVs out there that have 120 frames refresh rate?
Yes, there actually are.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So it supports ray tracing, which is a lighting technique primarily. It can be used for audio as well, by the way, but it's primarily used for lighting, where light will behave like actual light, like an actual ray of light was cast. So that's that. And there's one more big thing. One more big thing about this particular Devil May Cry 5 Special Edition. You also get to play as Virgil, which is brand new to Devil May Cry 5. It's not new to the series overall, but for 5, playing as Virgil is new. So more content. It is an upgrade, and it's unclear right now whether this is going to be considered a free next-gen upgrade, because it actually comes with... Because here's the thing. It actually comes with content. If it didn't come with the fact you get to play as Virgil...
It's probably going to be its own thing.
Yeah, I would say it's going to be... If it wasn't for Virgil, I'd say it's probably just going to be a free next-gen upgrade. But since Virgil is part of it, I'm guessing it's not. I'm guessing it's going to be a thing you have to buy if you want a new Devil May Cry 5 experience.
Yep, that'd be my guess too.
And but the cool thing is, it is a launch title. So if you're interested in Devil May Cry 5 and you want to replay it, and you would like to play as Virgil, or just want to see those sweet new graphics and ray tracing and 4K and 120 frames per second nonsense and craziness, you can on launch day.
Yeah.
So there you go. Oddworld Soulstar. I didn't write much about this because it's basically essentially it's just, hey,
it's Oddworld.
It's an Oddworld game.
Yeah.
And it's on PS5. It's going to be coming out. I don't know. Basically, that's all I have to say about that.
Pretty much, yeah.
In fact, speaking of things I don't have much to say about, the next item, Five Nights at Freddy's Security Breach. I don't know about you guys. I don't know, but I am just done with these.
I thought that, like, I don't know. I feel like that those games ran their course in like 2014 or 2015.
Right. When he was releasing a different one every couple months.
Yeah. Like, this is kind of done already, right?
The only thing that stands out about this game is it's clearly the biggest budget Five Nights at Freddy's game that there ever has been.
Yeah.
And the thing is, that's because he now has the budget because it made ridiculous amounts of money.
I just feel like he's late to the party with his own. Like, to his own party with this.
I don't know. The thing is, though, like, we're probably mostly wrong. And I say that because as much as we don't like the game,
we're also not in the age demographic that likes
games
either.
That's true. And whether we like it or not, they're super popular. I don't understand it.
I don't either.
Whatever. But they're super popular. So honestly, this game's probably going to be fine.
Oh, yeah.
But that said, I wish this would stop. I'm just done with these games. Yeah. I don't think they're scary. I think they just cheat the player anyway. Because I'm pretty sure that when you're not looking, the creatures just teleport to where they want to be.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not scary. I don't know. Whatever, bro. Anyway, I even wrote down, do we really need another one of these?
Mm-hmm.
All right, next up, moving on. Demon Souls Remake. This is a thing that a lot of people are anticipating.
This sounded so cool.
It did sound cool.
Oh my God.
It did sound really cool. And the thing I liked about this is that there was no frills on this, if you know what I mean. It was just jump into gameplay. Here's what it looks like. No frills, nothing. Just here you go. And it was literally the player walking through an area and killing monsters and stuff.
Yep.
And that's, here's the thing. If you're already a fan of Demon Souls, you probably recognize the area the player is going through. So that's what you would want to see. If as a Demon Souls fan, you probably would want to see that direct comparison. Do that, you know, comparison in your head. Oh, I remember this place. Oh, wow, it looks so much better this way, you know.
Mm-hmm.
On PS5. So I think this is great. For Demon Souls fans out there, I think it's awesome. And it, you know, Demon Souls is the predecessor to Dark Souls. So if you want to go back a little bit in time, but also go forward, check out the Demon Souls remake on PS5. That is also, by the way, a launch title. So at launch, PS5, Demon Souls remake is going to be available. And it's going to support all the haptic feedback and stuff. We talked about this before, but it's going to support all the DualSense, you know, features that everyone, well, at least that I want to try.
Yep.
And like I said, I will try anything on PS5. I really feel like that. So yeah. Believe I'll be trying Demon's Souls Remake on PS5. It's good. I don't care. I'm going to die immediately. I don't care. It's going to happen. I'm going to try it. Okay. Fortnite.
Yeah. It's Fortnite.
Fortnite.
Yep.
Hang on. I'm waiting for the applause. Fortnite. Nope. There it is. Okay. Uh-huh. There it is.
Yeah, it's Fortnite.
So, ladies and gentlemen, Fortnite is going to be available at launch on the PS5.
Like,
no, because of no course crap. It is.
No crap. Duh.
Of course, I mean, it is.
Come on. Did we really need ad space to tell us that?
Yeah, I didn't need it. I knew it was going to be available. Of course it is. It's available on everything. It's available on mobile.
Like,
Fortnite is easy. It's easy pickings. Now, I do know that the Fortnite on PS5 is going to support the ray tracing and whatnot.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I get it, but it's Fortnite.
It's just kind of like, well, yeah, of course it is.
Fortnite is literally Fortnite. Everywhere except Stadia.
Yeah.
Except Stadia. So why wouldn't it be on the PS5 at launch? You know? All right. But here's the thing. We covered a couple of downers here with Five Nights at Freddy's and Fortnite. But I want you to know that the next thing happened in this show.
So, oh my God, this is out of nowhere.
The next thing that happened in this show destroyed our brains.
It's like out of nowhere.
We kept reacting and just reacting and reacting and reacting as this unfolded.
Yep.
So, introducing the PlayStation Plus Collection.
Yep.
What is that, you might ask? Why? I will tell you.
Everything is one.
It is a collection of games that you are going to get for no additional charge as long as you're subscribed to PlayStation Plus immediately upon launch of the PS5.
It's like the free PS Plus games on steroids or whatever. Like,
yeah.
It's crazy.
And here's the thing of it. I don't know how many people have considered this yet, but this is very obviously PlayStation's answer to Game Pass, right?
Yep.
But here's the thing.
You don't even have to pay anything extra for Game Pass.
Well, okay. There's a couple things then. PlayStation Plus is technically cheaper than Game Pass.
Mm-hmm.
So now you're paying less money, because PlayStation Plus is like $60 a year. Game Pass is like $14.99 a month.
Yeah.
So you're paying less money for AAA blockbuster games. And it happened so fast I couldn't have written down the list. I didn't have the time. It just happened so quickly.
Yeah, there's so much.
But the list of games, here's what I can think of. Here's what I can remember off the top of my head. The kinds of games that are included in this list. Again, free.
God of War, I think, was like the first thing they showed.
Yeah. Free, as soon as PlayStation 5 launches, download these games. God of War, The Last of Us Remastered, The Last Guardian, Battlefield 1. So even EA is getting on this.
Yep.
So many of them. There's so many. Mortal Kombat 10.
Yeah, Mortal Kombat 10.
Mortal Kombat 10 is just free.
Just like, here you go.
I know it's the previous one, but good lord. Persona 5.
Oh yeah, Persona 5. Not
it's
Royal.
Free.
But...
No, it's not. That is important to note. It is not the Royal Edition. That is an important distinction. But it's still Persona 5.
Persona 5 is still a huge and good game.
And Anstruck, even though you didn't like it, Final Fantasy 15 is still a big deal when it's free.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. That's a good thing.
Final Fantasy 15.
I can't. Oh my 16 God.
16 just got announced, and now they're giving every PlayStation 5 PlayStation Plus owner. And by the way, most people are going to be PlayStation Plus subscribers because they want to play games online. So they're already going to be subscribers. And now they're just going to get the previous Final Fantasy.
You just have games. A ton of games.
I didn't even... That's not even half of the
list.
Good
games.
That's not even half of the list.
And the stuff they showed, you know that's not the full list either. Like,
yeah. And you know it's not going to be the only list either. You know they're going to add to this.
Yeah.
There's probably going to be new things added to it every month or so.
Now, I don't know if things are going to rotate out of that.
Yeah,
less likely to Game Pass or not, but It's still really cool. Like, man. It's
so cool.
This was out of nowhere, too. Like, there were no leaks or anything about this. I was just like, oh, yeah. Dude.
Here's the PlayStation Plus Games Collection.
Holy no leaks about that at all. Holy which is cow. Pretty rare
in this and day and age. I'm guessing, and there's no confirmation about this part, but I'm guessing at least some of these games are going to be enhanced for PS5.
Oh, probably, yeah.
Because, you know, there's a lot of free next-gen upgrades going around, so I'm guessing at least some of these are going to be enhanced.
Yeah.
So you're going to have, right away, everyone who gets PS5, because again, pretty much everyone's going to be a PS Plus subscriber because you want to play games online. So pretty much everyone who gets a PS5 is immediately going to have games to play, even if they buy no games at all with their PS5.
Yep.
That is awesome.
Oh, man. That's so good.
That is awesome. And you combine that, by the way, with PlayStation Now, if you have both services. Because remember, with PlayStation Now, you can already download the available PS4 games from PlayStation Now.
Yep.
So that's even more.
Oh my god.
That's even more.
That's insane. What?
And then when you combine both, then yes, it is a little bit closer to Game Pass pricing if you have both things.
Yep.
So, you know, if you want a giant list of 100 plus games you can download, then you would have to go for PlayStation Now and this, but combined together, it's about the same anyway, so
yep.
I mean, there you go. PlayStation has responded to Game Pass. And yes, I am admitting, I mean, I've pretty much already shown it to a great degree, but I'm pretty much a PlayStation fanboy. I'm not going to lie. And in my opinion, the list of games that they're just like, here you go, this collection is fantastic. Like,
yeah, take this, Microsoft.
Right. It really, I feel like it's a blow. I feel like it is a take this, Microsoft.
Mm-hmm.
And I get that there's no like super new games in this, and Microsoft, that's how Microsoft respond, like, well,
yeah,
you get all Microsoft first party exclusive on Game Pass right away, and that's true.
Yeah,
but if Microsoft first party exclusives were actually better games,
the only decent thing on that list that I halfway care about is Halo,
Halo. And
that's not gonna be a launch title.
I think 12 minutes is gonna be on there too. 12 minutes is like
12 minutes. Xbox, 12 minutes looked really good.
Yeah, as far as Xbox goes, 12 minutes is what I personally want.
Yeah,
that's what I want. But this is amazing. I wish. I am sorry to you listeners that I couldn't write down this list, but I promise
it was too fast.
It was going. Misty was reading it to us, but it was scrolling. And too she fast, had to. And
she, I don't think she could keep up.
Yeah, she had. She had to rush it too. Not only that, but every time they named something else, we were just like, oh my,
what?
Oh my, oh my, oh my God.
Yeah. It was nuts.
It's impressive, dude.
Yeah, it really was.
I'm probably just going to, like, when I get my PS5, and I say when, believe me, I say when, when I get my PS5, I'm probably going to do that just for part of, like, my PS5 coverage.
Yeah.
Just go into this collection and be like, let's try this.
Yep. All right. Here we go.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Even the way I wrote it down is just like so me. Like, collection of PS4 games that you just get.
You just get. Yep.
That's what I wrote. You just get them. I said Game Pass with PlayStation exclusives.
Yeah.
Access full collection on PS5 at launch.
Yep.
Okay. Are you ready, everyone?
And here we go.
And here we go. This, by the way, is not the final announcement. Oh, no. It is the second to last announcement of the show.
Yes.
However, it is the announcement you've all been waiting for.
Indeed.
Ladies and gentlemen, the PlayStation 5 physical edition is going to be $499.99.
Yep.
And the digital edition is going to be $399.99.
Yep.
Both consoles are releasing on November 12th in the following areas. I did write this down. Ha ha.
Ha.
In the US, Canada, Japan, Mexico, Australia, New Zealand, and South Korea. Everywhere else is releasing on November 19th.
Nice.
Ladies and gentlemen, I give to you prices and release date for PlayStation 5. Yeah. Also, I actually wrote something down at the very bottom of our, I don't know if you saw my update, did you see me quickly update the file, Sirlock? I don't know if you saw it in time. But I kind of hope you didn't, because I want you to be shocked too.
I don't think I did.
Okay, good. Good. That's good. I was going through Twitter before I had dinner today, before we did the show. And I saw a tweet from Jeff Keighley, who had spoken to Sony, and this was immediately retweeted by a billion people after that. And per Sony, pre-orders for the PlayStation 5 begin tomorrow.
Ooh.
Tomorrow.
Nice.
Now, here is what I find interesting about that. Xbox Series X is going to win the release date battle.
Right, because 2 days.
It is going to win it by 2 days. Xbox Series X is releasing on the 10th. The Series X and X, S and X are releasing on the November 10th. PlayStation 5 on the 12th. However, I did make sure about this. Xbox Series X is losing the pre-order battle. Because Series X pre-orders don't begin until the 22nd of this month.
Nah.
Whereas PlayStation 5 begins
tomorrow. Yep.
Tomorrow.
Ah.
Holy cow. This is a thing that is happening. And we are covering it on our show. I mean, yep. Holy cow. Okay. Now, the last announcement. The one more thing of this event.
This is pretty cool.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have officially seen our very first teaser of God of War 2.
Yep.
The rebooted God of War. And the text at the end of that teaser said, Ragnarok is coming.
Ooh.
Oh my god.
Ah.
It is going to come out for PS5 in 2021.
Yeah.
There you go, everybody.
It's a
PlayStation 5.
I was right. I called it too. I called the prices exactly.
You did call the prices. You did call the prices. $399.49. Oh, and I'll throw this on there too. I saw a tweet after the event.
This was great.
Oh no, that's right. Misty saw it.
Yeah.
And she read it to us. That's right. She read it to us. She saw this tweet where someone had said, "Man, this is not the exact wording, but it's something like this. Man, PlayStation just totally owned Xbox here. It was Xbox. Xbox fans after the PlayStation 5 price reveal are kicking themselves because they've just been screwed by Microsoft because it gave a list of all the things.
Like a list of all the features.
All the things that are in the PS5 Digital Edition.
Yep.
And then it said better games at the end. But no, the real kicker there, the
it's
reason
not
that
a GIMP
was,
system.
Yeah, the reason that was relevant is because the Xbox Series X is cheaper. It's $299. Sorry, S. The Series S is cheaper. It's $299.
I hate these names.
But I do too. The Xbox Series S, though, is actually a stripped down console. It includes less. The resolution is lower, you know.
Yep.
It doesn't have all them teraflops, you know. It doesn't have the same specs. The PS5 Digital Edition, yes, it's $100 more. Okay. Fine. Except there is no difference between the digital and physical versions except for the lack of disk drive.
Yep.
The PS5 Digital Edition is not in any way stripped down from the PS5 physical edition.
Yep.
It just doesn't have a disk drive. That's all. So this tweet was like, for $100 more, you get this and this and this. Like 2.5 times the CPU speed. a bigger solid state hard drive.
Yeah.
And better games.
And better games, that's true.
God, dude.
Oh. Yeah, I feel like Sony won that one. Pretty hardcore.
Yep, pretty hardcore. I'm ready, man. I'm
so good.
I'm feeling it. I really am.
Yep.
I'm just like, this is great. Like, it's a great time to be a gamer right now. And I am ready to pre-order that PS5 tomorrow. And it's going to happen. And like I said, I've said this. So my tips goal for my streams right now is the PS5 fund.
Yep.
But I've also clarified that I mean that in a way where I would like to meet the tips goal over the next couple months, because then I won't have to worry about the investment that I'm about to make.
Yeah.
But that doesn't change the fact that I'm still going to make the investment, you know? Right. Like, yeah. Tomorrow I'm pre-ordering a PS5. It's simple. It.
Yeah.
I'm getting it. It's happening, yep, no matter what. But, you know, that goal is there because I'd like to not worry about it afterwards.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, that's it for the big PS5 event. And now it's time for the remainder. Don't worry, we're not done.
Nope.
It's time for the remainder of gaming news.
Gaming
news that's not related to these two events. So here we go. Let's see. The first thing I wrote down was Ubi Forward and PS5 event. I also wrote down... Okay. But the next article type thing about that we wanted to cover, because we said we'd cover this, we're gonna cover it. More Apple stuff.
Yep.
Apple has been disallowed by the court to stop Epic from using their sign in with Apple feature, which, yes, they tried to do.
Yeah, they sure did.
Sign in with Apple is a feature that you can use if you so choose. You can use it basically with any app or website, even, where you can sign in. Well, any website that's willing to support it, where you can sign in with a hidden email address that Apple will, you know, protect. It's a good feature. You know, Apple gives you a kind of random email address, but they don't even tell you what it is. They just forward everything from it to you,
mm-hmm,
from that thing that you're signing up for. So that way the thing you're signing up for doesn't see your email address ever.
Yeah.
So it's a good feature, but it's not a feature that is in any way, or at least should be in any way, like allowed or disallowed from anyone. Like, it's a feature that anyone should be able to configure if they so choose.
Yeah.
And yet Apple's tried to stop Epic from even using that. Because they're so mad at Epic.
Yeah, that's...
You can't use signing with Apple. No. Fortunately...
The kid having a tantrum. I swear.
Fortunately, the court realized how freaking stupid that was.
Yeah, the court's just like, no, you're not doing that.
No, you're not going to stop them from using... It has nothing to do with your argument against them.
No, no.
Nothing whatsoever to do with your argument against them. So yes, Epic can still use signing with Apple. I even wrote down... I get that you're angry, Apple, but jeez. Oh, this is straight up dumb. That's what I said.
Yeah, it is really dumb.
Okay. Now it gets even crazier.
Apple.
More Apple things.
Apple, what are you doing?
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm so happy to announce that Apple has finally updated their policy. And now, if xCloud and Stadia want to be on iOS and function on iOS, they can. They totally can. You want to know how? I'll tell you how. Apple has updated their policy such that if xCloud and Stadia want to function on iOS, they can, as long as every single game available in what they call a cataloging app, like xCloud and Stadia, every single game is also available individually on the Apple App Store. So that's all they have to do. All Microsoft has to do is convert every game on Game Pass to mobile, every single one. And people can purchase it individually on the App Store. Then all they have to do, same with Stadia, just take every game, every single one, convert it to mobile, make it work on an iPhone.
they'll get right on that.
Yep, sure they will. No, they absolutely will not. Like,
yeah.
Like I even said this when I told Sterlock about this before. There is no, like, Apple did this,
yeah,
knowing that neither company would do that.
Yeah, it's so shady. It's so shady.
Because look at Game Pass. Game Pass is a rotating roster of games, so they'd have to do this and then do it again every time it changed.
Yeah, no.
So dumb. That is not happening.
So dumb.
Super dumb. Now, that said, Microsoft, you know, obviously didn't do anything about this, but I will say this, to, I guess, the happiness of people who have tried it, xCloud has officially launched. It officially launched on the 15th of this month. So it's actually out now. If you have an Android device, you can play all your games, your Game Pass games, Actually, apparently it's not every single game. It's apparently about 170 games, which Game Pass right now, I believe, has something like 200.
That's still a lot.
It is still a lot. Oh, yeah.
It's pretty good.
I mean, look, even I will say this. Even I'll say this. xCloud is launching with a bigger catalog than Stadia even currently has.
Yep.
So, you know, it's a lot.
Yep.
So, I have to give them that, but it's just so unfortunate that this crap with Apple can't be worked out. Because, although, I haven't tried this yet, actually, but I think you can also stream games to your Xbox, too, I believe.
Ah.
So, if you don't want to download the game, you can just stream it instead.
Oh, okay. Cool.
I haven't tried it yet, though. But apparently that's... And you know what? I wonder if you can do it on PC, too. That'd be interesting.
Hmm.
I don't know the... actually, I don't know the ins and outs of that. So I'm interested in that.
Yeah.
But yeah, so xCloud is out as of the 15th. So if you have an Android device, go ahead and enjoy some xCloud and Game Pass, of course. You have to get the Game Pass subscription. But if you have both, go ahead and enjoy some xCloud. Play some Halo Master Chief Collection and have a good time.
Yeah.
Halo ODST is coming out for Master Chief Collection, by the way, next week, I believe. So that's cool. So I think that package is now complete after next week with ODST coming out. So very nice. All the old Halo games available to Game Pass subscribers.
Yay.
And that
oof
is finally all
gaming news. That's so much of it. What? I was actually positive this is going to go over the 2-hour limit.
I don't know how it didn't. Let's see.
It didn't.
Where are we at right now? And also keep in mind, too, that there was that one recording that had to be cut.
Sure.
Okay. We are right now at 74 minutes and 51 seconds.
Okay. So, yeah, we would have been about 10 minutes off.
Yeah, about 10 minutes.
Other recording. Okay.
Yep. So we got close.
No. No, I'm sorry. About half hour, 40 minutes. Yeah, we have plenty of time. Yeah.
We did pretty good.
Yeah.
We made good time. I mean, all things considered, with as much things as we want to talk about. But don't worry.
We're not done yet.
We're still not done yet. Why? Because there is still accessibility
news.
Let's get into it right now. It's time for
accessibility news.
Oh my god. Okay. So, accessibility news this week is going to be very interesting.
Yep.
Because one of the first things that I wrote down for accessibility news is is I suck. That is all. So, ladies and gentlemen of the Breakdown Walls podcast, it is time for me, Brandon Cole, to devour a large portion of crow. You see, back when the iOS 14 public beta was released, I heard about a feature called screen recognition, which is a feature that allows voiceover to make apps that aren't accessible more accessible. I heard about it, and I thought I tried it. Because, you see, I thought that it was that kind of feature. I thought it would be one of those features that would just run in the background. You wouldn't need to worry about it. It would work on an app. It would notice when an app is not communicating with VoiceOver, and it would just react to it. So I came back to the podcast, and I said, this doesn't work. This is broken. It's not a good feature at all. I don't know what they're talking about. It's broken. It sucks. Guess what, folks? I was wrong.
Yep.
I was wrong. Oh, man. Ladies and gentlemen, screen recognition of VoiceOver is a feature you have to go activate in iOS 14. It is in the VoiceOver menu. You can turn on screen recognition and image recognition. It's an enhanced image recognition.
It's very non-apparent, too. It's just very non-apparent. You have to know it's there.
Yeah, you do have to know it's there.
It's kind of annoying.
It does not advertise itself at all.
Mm-mm.
But once you turn these things on, the world will change.
Yeah.
So, long and the short of it is this feature basically works. It basically does do what it advertises and tries to make, using machine learning, it tries to make apps that are not accessible with VoiceOver more accessible with VoiceOver. And it does succeed in certain things. Some apps are a lot more accessible. Sherlock, I believe you've been playing Fire Emblem Heroes.
Fire Emblem Heroes and
the other thing that I just discovered today. I wasn't able to try it until today because I had to wait until the official release of iOS 14.
Yeah.
For it to open. Pokemon Go works.
Yep.
To a point. I mean, it's not perfect, of course, but you can do stuff.
Yeah, and I do want to clarify too, this is not like a magical solution. I mean, it's
yeah.
It is amazing how well it does what it does. Yeah. But don't expect like, well, but it's not working exactly the way I want it to work.
Fire Emblem Heroes is like the one of the best examples I've found so far.
Yeah.
It's crazy how well that works.
Yeah. It's pretty crazy. I've tried it with several games myself. I tried it with Hearthstone, which I think would maybe work a little bit, but I can't get logged into it. I'm having some login problems right now.
Yeah.
So if I can ever get those sorted out, maybe I'll find out if Hearthstone works well or not. But I did try it with Hearthstone. I tried it with a game called Mutazian, which is an Apple Arcade game. And it does read a lot of things in Mutazian that weren't read before. Like, I could actually start the story and stuff like that. It doesn't read the story text, though, which is odd. But it reads a lot of the like elements, the page elements, mm-hmm. the screen elements. I tried it with a game called Tangle Tower, which is a murder mystery type point and click adventure style game,
mm-hmm.
and that didn't go very 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 well at all. Unfortunately, it reads the name of the location you're in at the time, and it does read like a little bit of text, like in a letter that you find in the beginning. It doesn't really read much. I don't know. It doesn't really work very well. I did try it with Final Fantasy Record Keeper, which it's not bad.
It's hit and miss with Record Keeper.
Yeah, yeah. It's not bad. It actually helped me get through a part that I was stuck on before. So that was kind of nice.
Because
I have my whole thing where I forgot how to play Record Keeper, even though I used to know how to do it. But it helped me get out of the area that I was in. I was stuck on the team screen, which is, by the way, is so weird. Even when I opened up Record Keeper after not having had it open for a while, it opened up onto the team screen again. The party screen. Like, oh my god, how does it remember that?
That's crazy.
But yeah, it helped me get out of that. And yeah, so I mean it works in kind of a general way. I wanna be clear on this. Like don't be like, oh, well suddenly every game is accessible, because it's not. It's not like that. But it is really impressive for what it does.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I want to talk about is the thing that I was most impressed by, I think. And I don't know if you got to experience this with the games that you tried, Sirlock, but I sure did, and I was blown away.
Mm.
So screen recognition combined with image recognition tries to describe any image as soon as the voiceover sees it.
Yep.
That includes cutscenes.
Yep. I saw that.
This is something I was blown away by, dude.
Was it with Hearthstone?
It was with Hearthstone, yes.
Yeah, I saw that. I thought that was really cool.
It tried to describe the cutscene as it was happening.
Yeah. That was so cool.
It's amazing. It's amazing. It was like a group of people in costume dancing around a thing, you know. I was amazed. I was blown away. And that's not even the only game it happened with. One of the other games I tried, I wanted to save this one until I mentioned this, but I tried a game called Late Shift, which is a game that is one of those video adventures where it's actual full motion video.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And you make choices along the way while the video is playing by mm-hmm. clicking on parts of the screen at the right time, blah, 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 you know.
Yeah.
That was being described, too, as it happened.
Wow.
As it played out, like a man standing in front of a car in a garage. And this guy was literally talking about his car. You know, it's like,
wow.
It's so cool.
The image recognition thing's cool too, because now when you go through like albums and stuff in your music library,
yeah,
it'll try to describe the album covers.
Yep. Same with audiobooks on Audible. I think that's
super cool.
Yep. It tries to describe Audible book covers too.
Like the Panic broadcast by Soilwork. Like the album cover is apparently a man wearing a crown and holding a sword in what looks to be a religious setting or something like that. It's like, oh, that's so cool.
That is epic. That is epic.
So cool.
That's amazing. The image recognition is top notch too. I took it into my photo album, and I went to the image of the plaque that I got from the American Council of the Blind, and it literally said a gold plaque with text on a wooden surface. It didn't read the text, which is weird because sometimes it actually does read the text on things. Mm-hmm. But it did say, I mean, that's exactly what it is. It is a gold plaque.
It read it in the Facebook post that you posted. It did. I noticed that. I don't know if that was alt text that you put in there.
That was Facebook's OCR thing that it does now.
Yeah, no, it wow, okay. That's impressive.
Yeah. Yeah, they took Facebook and Twitter took two different approaches to alt tagging. Facebook decided to do it themselves with an algorithm. And Twitter lets you do it as the user.
Yeah.
But Facebook's worked pretty well, actually.
Yeah.
So there you go. I did write the full text out for the Twitter alt tag when I first posted about it on Twitter. So, yeah. But anyway, it's so impressive. It literally turns things that are not voiceover elements into voiceover elements. It tries to figure out what they are, and it tries to put them in the proper place, in the proper order, and everything.
Like in Fire Emblem, it makes this little start thing an actual button. Start button.
Yeah. Amazing.
Double tap it and it hits the button for you. Yep. Ah, that's so cool.
Even though it didn't really work out overall, I even liked how Mortal Kombat it read the tutorial messages.
I tried that too. I was like, oh, this is so cool. But when it came down to the team stuff, it reads some of that
screen. Like you could tell who's on your team, but you can't really do anything after that.
Yeah, it didn't. But this is also new too, so it's like this will probably even improve over time. I hope. I also hope they fix that bug where it just gets stuck on the status bar.
Yeah, I hope so too. That did happen to me as well. It actually happened the first time I tried Record Keeper with it, but eventually just resolved itself.
It happens to me a lot with Fire Emblem sometimes. I have to
fixed it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, they say this uses machine learning to do this, so you would think that it might learn over time.
Mm-hmm.
Or it might just.
That's why I'm also having fun just downloading stuff and trying it.
Yeah, yeah. It makes you want to do that just to see how far you'll get and stuff.
And for anybody that was curious, Raid Shadow Legends is not playable.
Yeah, Raid Shadow Legends, for some reason, completely not. Even with this feature, it's completely not playable.
I did get to my first summon.
You did?
Raid Shadow Legends, though?
I didn't get that far.
Just by tapping around and stuff.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But I wasn't able to get to the point where you had to put dudes in your team and things like that.
Okay.
I don't know what to do. But the story is seems to be fully voice acted and all that, so that's kind of neat.
Oh, is it? Okay, that's cool. But I didn't even know that.
It also seems incredibly generic, but
but it's Raid Shadow Legends, bro.
Yeah. The game that has way too much money for its own good.
All the YouTubers say I need to play it immediately.
Sid also likes to make fun of that with his Ridge Wallet sponsor. He calls it Ridge Shadow Wallet.
Ridge Shadow Wallet. Yep. That's good. I like it.
Yeah.
I like it. I like it a lot.
Yep.
All right, and we already talked about the Ubi Forward event, which is the other thing I wrote down for this week, because I didn't know if I was going to talk about it during the Ubi show or that, because it was kind of accessibility-related. That's why I did the event.
Yep.
But we already talked about that, so I guess that's kind of it. The next thing we have, we actually did write in advance something we're going to talk about next week.
We could actually probably talk about it now, because we didn't take up as much time as we thought we were to.
You know what? Let's do it. Let's do it. What the heck?
We thought we were going to go way longer than we actually. That's always happens to us. You notice that?
Yeah.
This is going to be a short show, and then it ends up being a 2.5 hour show.
And then we say it's going to be a long show, and it's still not short, but it's not as long as we thought. Yeah. Okay. Let's talk about it right now. What the heck? So, there's a game that's coming out pretty soon. Coming out in a week.
Next week. Yep.
Called 13 Sentinels.
Yep. Aegis Rim.
Aegis Rim, that's right. Aegis Rim. Yep. 13 Sentinels Aegis Rim. It is, apparently, according to the audiogames.net forum post, a combination of visual novel and side-scrolling action games.
Yep. And RTS.
Okay. Cool. Yep. And apparently, it's super-duper playable by the blind people.
Yep.
Which is
Vanillaware, the guys who make Odin Sphere. So,
I mean, yeah, that's already kind of a mark in its favor too.
Yeah,
because while I'm kind of stuck in Odin Sphere at the present, it is mostly
Odin Sphere is pretty playable. Yeah.
I'm stuck, but that's not necessarily because it's not playable. It's because I'm stuck.
Yeah. And this game, just from what I've heard of videos I've kind of skimmed through, way more voice acting than Odin Sphere has.
Yeah, yeah.
Ton of voice acting. It sounds like it's going to be, in fact, fully voice acted.
Yeah, from what people were saying in the forum post, they're like, it has so much voice acting, it might as well have menu narration, even though it's not technically that, but it works in the same way.
Yeah.
So, cool.
It looks awesome. It'll be nice to hear the English voice acting for context, just so I can actually understand what's going on.
Yeah.
But apparently, according to reviews, this is like a 30-hour game.
Whoa, dude.
Yeah.
And we can play the whole game?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I'm super excited for this thing.
We have people claiming on Audio Games to have already finished it. So, because to be clear for the listeners out there, it has been out in Japan for a while now.
For a while, yeah.
And apparently some people in Audio Games have already finished it. So, yeah, looks like we can play it, guys.
And
so,
I looked up the trophy list and it seems very platinumable.
Oh, really? All right. I like it. Cool. Is it one of those platinum for beating the game kind of things? Like, just play the game once and you'll platinum it?
Pretty much. I mean, like, there's stuff for finding. There's a lot of trophies for finding everything.
Oh, okay.
But I feel like...
in a game that's finding, a visual novel...
I feel like finding everything might not be too difficult. It just
Right. I mean, it is side-scrolling, mostly. The parts that aren't visual novel are apparently side-scrolling and or RTS, so...
Yep.
So, I could see that being possible.
And the thing that makes the options are that your units will automatically move towards enemies.
Yeah.
And for the places that you have to move manually, you get a little sound notification when your cursor is over an enemy. So
yep, so you can move around and find an enemy yourself.
Seems like it's going to be very doable. So
yeah. Yeah, I'm looking forward to trying it. I actually took some initiative here, and I decided to pre-order it.
Nice.
Just go for it. Because the way I see it, if we're already hearing, hey, it's completable, because here are some people that did it.
Yeah, you should totally stream it.
I will stream it.
Now, the thing I find really interesting is that the English voice acting is a day one patch.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
It is. I've never seen that.
I don't think
I've
ever seen that.
I guess the only reason I can think that happened is
it might have been just really down to the wire.
Yeah, they didn't get it done quite in time. Yeah.
Yeah.
The only disadvantage of that is we may have to, because it's not the default.
It's probably going to be default to Japanese.
Yeah, we may have to find a way to switcheroo. But we'll find it.
It may OCR well. Odin Sphere OCR'd pretty well. So
yeah, it did. So we'll see. It should OCR okay. Yep. If Odin Sphere is anything to go on, it should.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Vanillaware makes really good games, so I have really high hopes for this.
The faith is there.
Apparently, the story is super deep and twisty, and
oh,
and it's 13 different characters, and there's time travel, and it's just whoa, this sounds super involved.
Well, I do like deep and twisty stories, so
yep. So Yep.
All right. Well, that's
I'm
there. You
super
go.
Super excited for this thing.
Another apparently fully playable game coming out of PS4. All yep. right. Looking forward to that.
The game that I'm going to buy in place of WWE 2K Battlegrounds.
Yep. I cannot generate interest for that game. Nope. As hard as I try, I can't do it.
I was, and then I heard gameplay. I'm like, eh.
And then there it goes.
I'll get it when it's on sale.
Right. That'll be fine.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that is that, guys. Holy cow.
What a show.
We're going to do what we do. We're going to do a little outro, and then I'm going to rest for a million years.
Yep.
And, yeah. All right. Outro time. Folks, this has been episode 58. Man, wasn't it great?
What a date.
Can you wait for
I can't wait.
For the date of PlayStation 8. Wait, what?
On November 8th. Oh, wait.
Oh, man. It's what a show.
Oh, man.
This was really cool. Like, I mean, we've done long shows before, but this wasn't just a long show. This was a show where I finally, like, for the first time on this podcast, I know it's, you know, by the standards of gaming podcasts, relatively young, but it's cool that I'm covering the next generation. Like, you know, like,
as it happens,
we are on the pulse of the next gen while it is unfolding.
Yep.
And that's fun. I like doing this. And, you know, as we always say, we love doing this every week. It's one of our weekly highlights. So
yep, it is.
Thank you guys for listening to this show. And we'll keep on doing it. Keep on doing our long shows as long as we need to. And as always, we welcome feedback. We welcome your comments. We welcome your voice messages. We welcome everything. We would like to talk about the things you want us to talk about, too. So if you have any feedback, give it to us. Also, go to breakdownwalls.net to learn all you want to learn about the Breakdown Walls crew, including myself and Sirlock here. Because we're all part of BD Dubs, man. And you can also join our Discord server there as well.
Indeed.
Sirlock, I think we deserve a break.
I think I'm going to go take a nap.
Right. That is going to do it, folks, for episode 58 of the Breakdown Walls podcast. We will see you guys next week, by which time I will have pre-ordered PS5. There you go. I'm saying it now. It's happening.
Oh, yeah.
All right. See you guys next week. Have a good week, guys.